The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare,
the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Has some the angle. Can he find it? Oh, that is beautiful. Raji's got the speed. Has he got the touch? There's your answer.
Hello and welcome to the latest Rapids podcast, which comes to you just days before the opening game of the 2018 Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions League involving your Colorado Rapids at home to Toronto FC. As we prepare for that encounter, here's what you can expect in this week's show.
This is a new team with a new vision, you know, completely new coaching staff virtually. Nearly half of our roster is new additions. You know, our front office has taken shape and has a direct vision of where this team is going. And so it's very tough, to be honest, to look back and use 2017 as motivation, because it's not the same group. It won't be, this year will not be what last year was.
You know what? It's their first game. It's their first game under the new coach. It's their first game in their new system, real game. You know, the preseason games have already passed. So I think you got to take it serious. We've never had an MLS team win it. I think Colorado got fortunate. You still think you say fortunate when you're playing Toronto, the MLS Cup champions, but they've not played games like the other teams have in Mexico and Costa Rica and all those other places. So they've got a very good shot.
The voices there of two legends of the American game, Tim Howard and Marcelo Balboa. Before we hear from those two, let's bring you up to speed with news from around the club. A couple of transactions this past week with the arrival of goalkeeper Andrew Dykstra from Sporting Kansas City. That was in exchange for a natural second-round draft pick, but not until the 2020 MLS Super Draft. There was also another bit of business with SKC on Tuesday. The club has acquired an international roster spot for 2018. That's in exchange for $100,000 in GAM, general allocation money. Now, with that transaction, the Rapids now have 8 international spots through this MLS season. And then the Rapids completed their pre-season preparations in Arizona with a 2-0 win over Phoenix Rising on Wednesday night. That came courtesy of goals from Dominic Bacci and Tommy Smith. Here are the post-game thoughts of Smith and head coach Anthony Hudson.
We're pleased. I think the players should be pleased with themselves. It's been, again, another progression in terms of the physical demands of Arizona with pre-season. Two days ago... They had an incredibly tough session. That was the first 90 minutes under our belt now. And so overall, really pleasing night.
The manager's put his plans in place and everyone's been working towards that. It's a new system for a lot of the players, so it's going to take some time to adapt. But I think tonight you could see the signs were there that we are getting there slowly, and hopefully we can improve again against Toronto.
And we have to make sure that we continue to push the players physically and tactically, and also prepare for the Toronto game. But bottom line is, we cannot compromise our preparation for New England first game. The season is most important to us, and we have to make sure we're ready for the start of the season.
Colorado Rapids take on Toronto FC in a Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions League game on February 20th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Bacci!
Get your tickets today at coloradorapids.com. Yes, get your tickets as the Rapids return to Champions League action for the first time since 2011. This will be their third foray into the region's top domestic competition. The first was way back in 1998, when known as the Champions Cup. The Rapids went out of the first qualifying round, losing 4-3 on aggregate to Mexican side Club León. They lost the second leg 4-2, having triumphed 1-0 at Mile High Stadium. The goal from former Club León player Marcelo Balboa. I got a chance to sit down with Cello this week and got his memories of that encounter.
I remember coming in off the bench. I didn't start that game. Kind of a heavy heart, you know what I mean, because you just ended up leaving León and coming and signing with the Rapids and playing in MLS and playing your old team. It was a good way, because that was the first time we had back then, I don't know if it was Champions League or Champions Cup. And all the above, but it was a new experience for all of us. We didn't play in that tournament. We've never played in it, and to be able to play it at home, we got confused the second leg, very confused about scoring and stuff, but it was exciting to be able to play against my old team, see some old teammates, and fortunately, but unfortunately, I scored against them to have the 1-0 win.
So 1-0 in that first leg. The second leg, as you say, was a little different. The Rapids went out of the tournament early on. Then it became the Champions League 2011. It's now been 7 years since the Rapids have been at this stage, within this competition. What does it mean? What should it mean to those guys stepping out there next Tuesday?
You know what? It's their first game. It's their first game under the new coach. It's their first game in their new system, real game. You know, the preseason games have already passed. So I think you got to take it serious. We've never had an MLS team win it. I think Colorado got fortunate. You still think you say fortunate when you're playing Toronto, the MLS Cup champions, but they've not played games like the other teams have in Mexico and Costa Rica and all those other places. So they've got a very good shot. A very good shot. And let's be honest, anytime you can get into a tournament and you can get past a first round, second round, get into a semifinal, maybe chance of winning it. But first things first is Toronto on the 20th. And for me, I mean, we don't get this opportunity too often as a club. So I think it's a huge opportunity to show the fans, new players, new system, new coach, and to impress right off the bat.
What for you was, what kind of stood out? And almost in a historical, from a historical standpoint, is where was MLS in 98? Where was MLS in 2011? In terms of where when the Rapids have taken part in this tournament, you know, MLS has come a long way, even in the last 3 or 4 years. Where was it back in 98? How did MLS clubs compare to the rest of the continent?
I don't think you can compare them. We started 96, and we knew that we had money for 3 years. So, you know what I mean? That's where it kind of went from there. We weren't really sure if we would. It was always that teeter-totter. If you're hearing there's not enough money, there's money coming in, there's new sponsors, so we didn't really know. But at that point, we still couldn't compete with teams in Mexico. I think now we can. And especially the only thing I think that we have, if you look at it, it's a big thing, it's a disadvantage, is the fact that Mexico's in week seven of their tournament, and we're at zero. So I think that's a disadvantage. But if you look at the money that's being spent, you look at the players that are being bought here in MLS, they're closing the gap. And it's just a matter of now of getting past that first phase, getting a few games under your belt, and then giving a good run. But you can't compare the league in 98 to what it is now, with stadiums, with the fan support, with the money and the sponsors backing teams, designated players, $14 million buyout clauses to bring players to the United States and to play in MLS. That was unheard of back then. So I think the advantages now are closing, and we're getting there to the point where we can compete every week with Mexico.
An MLS team has won the Champions Cup. Since it was obviously rebranded as the Champions League, it's been dominated by Mexican clubs. What would it mean for an MLS team to win it, and what is it going to take?
Oof, that's one. I think it'd mean the world to the league to show that we're getting to that point where we're competing with Mexico, even though they've been dominant, and we are competing with them. But to be able to take that last step, we've been to a final. We just haven't been able to get to the last hurdle to go to the World Cup of Clubs to represent the MLS. I think that's a big sign to where MLS is. So I would hope that every team that's in it is out to win it and to prove a point to the Central American teams that were closing the gap.
And what do you think has been the sticking point in kind of more recent times? And teams who got close, Montreal got close a couple of years ago. Is it the schedule? Is it the fact that the season is just starting? Is it the travel? Is it the depth of squads? What has been kind of the big obstacle that MLS clubs have struggled to overcome?
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, one, the depth of a club. It's hard to play on a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So you have to prioritize what you want to do that week. Is it you going after Champions League, or you going for 3 points in league? I think that the fact the travel schedule isn't too bad, but it can affect you, especially when everything just kind of rolls together. The travel affects the depth of the squad, the older players, the designated players. The other thing too is you know, you look at certain games, you give everything you have on a Saturday to get the points in, especially if it's a rivalry game. Imagine having to play on a Wednesday night in, let's just go with Mexico City, at altitude like that. It's difficult to be able to go to Mexico and play on their home field. They leave the grass a little thicker. It's not like here where you walk out in MLS and every field is pristine. It is beautifully cut. In Mexico, everybody has their advantage. They wet the grass and it's 2 inches thicker than you get here. The fans are different. So I think the last obstacle is, again, I think the schedule kind of throws everybody off a little bit, and only because seven games in, and as an athlete, you know that about seven, eight, nine games, you start to hit that peak, that fitness is good, and we never really get to that point because of the fact that, you know, we get eliminated early because of the rounds, because we've only, our first preseason game here for the Rapids have been a few games in Arizona, but our real, real first game is a Champions League game against Toronto at home. You know, if it was a Mexican team, you'd be playing a team that's already fit and ready to go for 90 minutes.
What was that game against Club León, the second leg? You'd played for them. You'd played in Mexico. You'd played for the U.S. national team. You'd traveled. You know where I'm coming from here. Man. Players that were going in there that were maybe a little green, what was that in terms of a soccer education?
We learned a lot. One, we didn't know the rules going into the game. So we thought by scoring two goals away from home, we were good. I think it was 4-2. The game ended, something like that. And the rules were different back then. And all of a sudden, with 10 minutes to go, we're throwing people forward because we needed another goal. And it. But I think the learning lesson was, you know, when you walk out of a stadium or you go, let's just take it our first year when we'd go to L.A. or Dallas, you know, people were nice to you. People were cordial. They're asking for autographs. When we went to Mexico and we got off the bus, it was booed at, things were thrown at us, and just typical, you're not welcome here. This is not your home. We're here to beat you. You're not welcome here. And cold water in the locker rooms, which I know that trick because I played there. We all know that. So it was a learning lesson for, I think, guys that haven't been in it. But I think it's a great learning lesson just because great stories came out of it. To play in Mexico, we didn't get that opportunity too often to play in a real league game and against a real Mexican team. So I think we learned a lot, but I think it helped us down the road.
Has that also been part of the learning curve for MLS more recently? Is that, you know, you've got to toughen up. You're not going to LA or Seattle or Toronto or Columbus. You're going to Mexico or you're going to El Salvador or you're going to Honduras. Yeah. You're going to go to intimidating atmosphere. You're going to have a tougher underbelly.
I think the difference, Richard, is if you look at back when we played, it was a young league, a lot of American players, just a young league. A lot of players didn't get an opportunity to play overseas. I think if you look at the players that are playing now and look at the experience the players Rapids brought in from Europe, look at what Atlanta's doing, look what Toronto's doing. I think a lot of these players have already kind of experienced playing as a visitor. There's just certain places that you can't describe, you can't tell people, you just have to live it. And I think that's where the reality comes in when you get to go to a Club America and you're playing in Azteca or you know, you go to Tigres and you know, it's a different, the lights go off, the fire alarm goes on, the cars outside are honking their horn at 3-4 in the morning, the radio's blaring till 6 in the morning. I think that I think a lot of players have that experience, but it's a different experience in CONCACAF.
And for those that are playing Champions League for the Rapids, and some of them are playing, Gashi's played Champions League in Europe, Tim Howard, of course, has as well, Edgar Castillo, Jack McBean for the Galaxy. But those that are just stepping in, what would you tell them?
You know, we're lucky. We're lucky because we get to go to Toronto. So I think I don't have to say too much about that. But if they were going to Mexico or they were going somewhere else, you know, the same thing as always is expect the worst because that's what's going to happen. It's the worst environment, people yelling and screaming and throwing things. And, you know, not in a bad way. Everybody makes a sound, but it's they're protecting their home. This is the club they grew up as kids. They grew up as soon as they were born. I know people that put León shirts on their kids, and they've been León fans ever since. So it's that pride of club. It's that pride of fans. It's that pride of I'll give everything I have to win today and to take this club a little further. And I think that sometimes is the side a lot of people don't get to see because they don't get to go to Mexico or they don't go to Europe and see the games.
And just finally, two competitive games, a minimum. Obviously, the Rapids will look to try and progress in the competition, but a minimum of two competitive games before the regular season starts. How important is that going to be for the Rapids?
I think it's huge, and only because of what the situation is here in Colorado from last year. I believe 7 or 8 new players, new coach, new system. I think now, you know, the other pregame, the preseason games, there's meaning, but there's not really meaning behind them. It's trying to get your fitness. Now there's a purpose behind this game. It's, can we beat Toronto? Can we get an edge on them before we go to Toronto? So this game is huge, and I think this is the first time that everybody gets to see Anthony Hudson. This is the first time everybody gets to see the new system. So you always want to make a good first impression.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare. An interview with Tim Howard still to come, but first, this. This part of the Rapids podcast is brought to you by Lunazul Tequila, made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunazul Tequila, one sip and you know. Well, this week's parting shot, for a league which is growing, for a league which is getting stronger, for a league which is attracting better, younger players, and for a league which has greater global resonance, there sure remains a regular need for reassurance. Whether it's being oversensitive, whether it's being forced to constantly stand your ground when all around are knocking you, whether it's because the years of being told you're not the best league has you questioning your self-worth. But another example last week suggested there still remains a need for those within the league to oversell the product. A product which, let's be fair, is doing pretty well. Some of you may have seen via social media a free kick during a pre-season friendly from Toronto's talisman, Giovinco. It was a decent free kick, yet it triggered cries of, for all those who weren't aware, quality does exist in MLS. Why the need to make such a statement? It's the same with every player rumoured to be heading to MLS or every player recently signed to an MLS club. Either these players are not good enough for the league or just what we need. There's then a comparison made with where they've come from, where they've played, how much they've played. It seems every aspect of MLS for some still has to undergo the quality control test as a way of helping gauge where the league is in the global pecking order. My advice to those folks? Get over it. And so we come to our final interview of the show, and it's with team captain and US international Tim Howard. In a wide-ranging chat, I began by asking what was stoking the Tim Howard fire ahead of 2018.
Another challenge. You know, I think every new season presents an opportunity, and, you know, it never gets old to me. I think, you know, running and being sore in preseason gets old, but actually the challenge of a new season helping to try and build a team and build a winner, that never gets old. That's challenging. I think that's one of the major reasons that we all play the game. Certainly I do.
And it's an interesting one because during the season, when the league season is underway, coaches and managers will say, look, not always the performance is kind of the priority. It's the result. It's the result that matters during the season. During preseason, it's about the performance in terms of preparation. How do you tell whether preseason's going well? What are the telltale signs for that preparation period?
We've played as many years as I have. I think you realize that patience is key. You're never going to get everything right. You know, guys are coming off long layoffs. We got a bunch of new additions, and it's going to take time. And so you try and stay steadfast every day to the task, and that doesn't come without its growing pains. But we have a manager in Anthony Hudson who is demanding. He keeps us on song and on task, and we're going to get it right because we're going to do it every single day. And I think, you know, if you're being honest with yourself, you allow some mistakes because that's the way you learn in preseason. That's the time to learn.
What about for you then? Preseason, I imagine, has changed as you've listened to your body. And I know talking to a number of kind of seasoned pros, they listen to their body more. What does the preseason need? What does it take now for you to understand that you're kind of hitting the peak and you're hitting the preseason at the right time so you can get through the rigors of a full season?
Well, it's just it. I've learned my body over the last 20 years. This is my 21st preseason as a professional, and I know that it's a year-round process. So I look after myself in the off season so that I can be fit and ready when preseason comes. And then really it's about technically kind of getting my eye back in and seeing the ball and the movements in within the goal is important. I think I'm trying to build a foundation, to be quite honest. I'm building a foundation for the long term, but I'm not getting too carried away with worrying about the first game. For the first game we want to win and we want to be on, but we also, you know, want to be strong throughout 40 games of the season. And so, you know, you have to create a platform and a foundation and not go 100 miles an hour from day one.
And obviously it's key to be physically fit once the season starts. What about that mental sharpness, and as well as kind of focusing on your preparations, are you keeping an eye on, as the leader, are you keeping an eye on the rest of the roster? What have you seen from the squad so far?
Yeah, it's important that you know, you look after yourself and do your own bits of business. But yeah, you know, the team needs leaders and needs people to kind of, you know, corral everybody and get everybody moving in the same direction. And so, yeah, you have to have your finger on the pulse and know how to, you know, get the group going when it needs to and when to kind of pull back when that needs to happen as well. So that's normal. I think we've added a bunch of leadership positions on the team, and that's going to stand us in good stead moving forward.
And that was kind of moving on to my next question. You know, no professional sports person likes to lose. Of course, they all go out there to try and win. But have we seen with the acquisition, obviously yourself in there as well, are we going to see a mentally tougher Rapids this year?
Well, yeah, I think by kind of tearing up the script and starting over again, which I think everybody would tell you we've done, our idea is to have an identity that we're going to be hard-nosed, tough to beat. You know, I think the football will take shape. It will look a certain way. We will set our stall out and our tactics will be a certain way. But as a minimum, you know, our idea of being hard to beat, tough to play against, letting teams know that whether we play home or away, you're going to face the same opposition no matter what. That's important to this collective group of players.
And I know obviously as athletes you want to look forward, but how much do you use 2017 as almost like a motivating factor to say we don't want to go there again? We don't want to experience that disappointment that we did in 2017.
Well, to be honest, we don't want to experience that. But you know, this is a new team with a new vision, you know, completely new coaching staff. Virtually nearly half of our roster is new additions. You know, our front office has taken shape and has a direct vision of where this team is going. And so it's very tough, to be honest, to look back and use 2017 as motivation, because it's not the same. It's not the same group. It won't be, this year will not be what last year was. It's as simple as that. And so we have our own challenges and our own internal motivations, but I don't think we're going to use last year as one of them.
Champions League then up and underway on Tuesday against Toronto. You'll have played in these kind of games, the games over two legs. As the team playing at home in the first leg, what are the kind of key elements? Clearly you want to win, you want to get goals, but what are the, how do you set yourself up nicely for that second leg?
Well, I think just when you talk to people who have played in competitions such as these, they'll always argue which one's better. In my experience playing in European competitions, I always think it's better to play at home first. You know, that's just my own personal opinion, and we have that advantage. You know, what you say to your team always is manage a game, right? And so you manage a game over the course of 90 minutes, and you don't go gung-ho over the first 10 minutes, and you don't worry about things unfolding in the game. You just let them play out and you manage the game. I think it's equally as important, because once game one finishes, all that is halftime, really, you know? And so you have to manage the 180 minutes as such. It's just one big long game. And so it takes its toll on you mentally, but physically, I think if you get it right, you can manage that in terms of goals for and goals against.
And what about embracing the underdog tag? Is that something you're going to enjoy giving a few teams a few bloody noses this year?
Well, I think, look, in terms of being the favorites or being the underdogs, I think we're quite comfortable with where we are. We feel good about our squad, and we feel good about going into 2018 with quite a number of strong new signings and, as I said, that new direction. And whether people give us credit for that or not, is okay. It's probably better for us, because then then we get to kind of catch them by surprise. And again, we're comfortable with that role. If it is quote unquote the underdog, that's fine. We're not going to approach games any differently. The only surprise will be for the opponent when and if they underestimate us.
A shorter preseason. It's the same, of course, for Toronto. You've kind of touched upon it previously. You know, your experience gives you some kind of indication. How do you know? How do you know if you are fully prepared? Is it not until that first whistle, that first kick?
Well, you know, we try and train our way at a very high intense level, and then our preseason friendly games give us a little bit of a marker, you know, to go out there and see what performances are like, see what results are like. It's not the be all and end all in the results in preseason, but it's important to have a winning mentality. And so, you know, by the time we wrap up here in Tucson this week with our couple of games, we'll certainly have a better idea of what we're going to look like on Tuesday.
Now, of course, I'm as guilty as the next man. We'll look around the league and we'll look at teams that are bringing in players that are coming, players that are going. We're trying to kind of weigh up how the league season is going to pan out. What has that told you of kind of taking that approach as a player? Do you try not to focus on that? Is that a kind of a futile exercise? It lands as it lands?
Well, it lands as it lands, but it's exciting, obviously, to see where you stack up, you know, what teams are making moves, how many moves has your team made. That's normal. Whether you're a supporter or a player, you always want to see, you know, talented new faces come through the door. And quite honestly, we have that. We've had that in abundance. And, you know, that's going to be on full display as we move forward in the season. And we're quite confident with the players we brought in regards to talent, in regards to leadership. So we're looking forward. We're excited about it. However much credit anyone else gives us for that isn't really our concern. You know, we'll try and let our performances speak for themselves.
Tim Howard there. He'll lead out the team next Tuesday against Toronto at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. A reminder, you can get your tickets from coloradorapids.com or by calling 303-825-GOAL. As always, it's been my absolute pleasure to bring you another Rapids podcast. Let's try something similar next week, shall we? In between leg one and leg two of the CONCACAF Champions League round of 16 against the reigning MLS Cup winners. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.